I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. When you think of hotspots of soul music, maybe you think about Detroit or St. Louis or Memphis, but soul has found a new home across the ocean. In recent years, we've seen the rise of a new generation of women singers from the UK, like Adele, Duffy, and Estelle, whose big voices and soulful stylings have scored hits and won fans here in the U.S. And now we have a new star in British soul to tell you about, Ellie Goulding. You show the lights that stop me, turn to a stone. You shine me when I'm alone. And so I tell myself that I'll be strong. And dreaming when they're gone, 'cause they're calling, calling, calling me home. Calling, calling, calling home. You show the lights that stop me, turn to a stone. Is Lights from her debut album of the same name. It became the biggest and fastest-selling debut album of 2010, premiering at number one on the UK album chart. Goulding won the Critics' Choice Award at the Brit Awards. She also earned recognition as the BBC Sound of 2010, making her only the second artist to win both honors in the same year. And she performed live at the wedding reception of Prince William and Kate Middleton, the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, of course, singing her rendition of Elton John's Your Song for the couple's first dance. Now, Ellie Goulding is touring the U.S., but she was nice enough to take a short break from her busy schedule to stop by our studios in Washington, D.C. Welcome, Ellie Goulding. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. And you brought some friends, if you wouldn't mind introducing them.
Yeah, these are my friends. This is Chris. They just happen to play instruments. And this is Max over here.
Hello, Chris and Max. Thank you so much for joining us as well. So, Ellie, when you were a little girl last year and dreaming, that was a joke. I guess I need to translate the humor.
I'm not little anymore.
When you were dreaming about what you wanted to be when you grew up, what were you thinking about? Was this what you had in your mind?
No. I wanted to be an actress for a while. I suppose because I lived in the countryside, there wasn't much to do other than watch films and watch television. So acting was like a big thing to me. And then I'd always sang since I was young. I've been strengthening my voice since I was very young. And then I went to university and studied drama, and I was still singing. And then I got really into running and training, so I wanted to be a fitness instructor at one point, randomly, like a personal trainer. I don't know why. And then I started gigging around London. I taught myself guitar when I was about 15, and I just started playing shows, or writing and playing shows.
I wanted to ask you about that. You are, in fact, a self-taught guitarist, yeah. And singing as well, you're self-taught.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I couldn't really afford to pay for the lessons, so just taught myself, yeah.
So when you started performing, what gave you the confidence to get out there?
I didn't really have any. I really didn't. I went out and I was really shy, and I became known as this shy singer who was quite good, I suppose. And then I eventually signed a publishing deal, then a record deal. And for some reason, I got this confidence out of nowhere. And I started performing, I don't know, not in an apologetic way. I started just not caring and just, you know, going out there and doing it.
Was there a breakthrough moment for you? One particular thing that was in your head that said to yourself,
I think I did kind of feel like that. I think it's when you're suddenly in the spotlight and when you start getting people coming to your shows and analysing every single part of your show, and I think that kind of made me think, well, I think people are missing the point of what I do. So I decided that I was going to brush it off, and the more attention that I got from my music, whether negative or positive, that I got a thicker skin. I try and perform as confidently as I can, I think.
Well, let's hear something. I think you want to play Guns and Horses.
Yes.
Right? That's from the from Lights. Here it is.
You're so quiet, but it doesn't faze me. You're on time. You move so fast. Me feel lazy. Let's join forces. We've got our guns and horses. I know you've been burned, but every fight is a lesson learned.
but I wish I could feel it all for you. I wish I could be all for you. If I could erase the pain, then maybe you feel the same. Will I do it all for you? Well, I would. It's time to complete and make sense of everything. It's time.
If you're just joining us, I'm Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're visiting with singer-songwriter Ellie Goulding about her debut album, Lights, and whatever else is on her mind. Your music, I mean, here you're accompanied by guitar as well as your own, but on the album, people can hear there's electronic, you know, there's indie rock, there's lots of different genres. And the New York Times called your music a happy crash of signifiers.
Ooh.
Do you like that?
Yeah, I think I like it.
Well,
a happy crash of signifiers.
A happy crash of signifiers. And and I'm wondering whether in a way you felt kind of free to make that happy crash because you didn't have anybody telling you what to do.
Well, my song started off on guitar, and then I met somebody that I really connected with musically, and I'm really fascinated by electronic music. And I like the idea that a lot of my songs were melancholy, but they kind of ended up being quite kind of uplifting.
I was going to ask you about that, too, because the sound is very buoyant and uplifting, but some of the lyrics are
quite sad, yeah.
Quite sad.
But I like that. I like that a sad song can still give you hope, in a way.
There's a sadness at the core, not always. Do you mind if I ask, where does that come from? Do you live in a sad place in your head?
No, I guess a lot of that comes from my childhood, and also I think that kind of unhappiness kind of manifested into other parts of my life, i.e. I was in the mindset of always being negative and kind of pessimistic and fatalistic, and so I that kind of came through into my writing and stuff.
Forgive me, I don't want to go beyond where you want to go, but you know, your dad was an undertaker. Do you think that had something to do?
My dad's family were.
His family
was. Yeah, but
was.
I don't
see that had
my
nothing
dad,
to do
but
with it?
No, I mean, I didn't really know any of my dad's family, but they, his family were undertakers in the place I grew up in. And my mum used to like go and help my dad out and like put makeup on dead people and stuff. I was kind of strangely familiar with death and murder and stuff from a young age, because my dad had a fascination with murder and with, he used to have these like loads and loads of books on crime and murder and stuff like that. And so I used to go and see my dad at weekends, and that was the only literature I had to read. And so I knew a lot about crime from a young age, which is so weird. But then when my mum found out, she went mad and she like burnt the books that I brought home and stuff. So yeah, but it sounds a lot weirder than it was. I don't see my dad, but I'm sure he's fairly normal.
No, I understand. But it's just It's just the contrast is interesting to me.
Yeah. So.
And you, forgive me for asking this, but as we are speaking, many of us are still reeling from the loss of Amy Winehouse. And obviously it's a shock in one way, but it's not in another way. But there are those who still feel that somehow art and pain are inextricably linked. And I just wondered if you feel that way as well.
Art and pain. I mean, in that situation, it's incredibly sad, and we've lost a really, really amazing talent. But I'd say that without wanting to go too deep, I don't think an artist is ever really satisfied. And I think that that links to pain because you're never quite happy with anything. I don't know if that's the case with all artists, but actually, sure. This is the song that I dedicated to Amy the other night.
Oh, well, thank you for that.
It's a little bit funny, this feeling inside. I'm not one of those who can easily hide. I don't have much money, but boy, if I did, I'd buy a big house. But these things I do, you see, I've forgotten if they're green or they're blue. Anyway, the thing is, what I really mean, yours are the sweetest eyes I've ever seen. Tell everybody this is your song. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done, I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind that I put down in words how wonderful life is now you're in the world. A sculptor, but then again, no, or a girl who makes potions in a traveling show. I know it's not much, but it's the best I can do. My gift is my song, and this one's for you.
That was Your Song by Sir Elton John. And I understand this was the song that you sang at the wedding reception, correct? Or is that all secret? Is that top secret? Is that a secret?
I might have.
Oh, you might have? That must have been nerve-wracking. But have you met him?
No, I haven't actually. No.
But we know he's been quoted as saying how much he appreciates your music. So that must be kind of, is that intimidating? Or you not even think about it?
No, I don't. I wish I could give you like a good answer, but I don't think about it.
Well, more's the power to you. So what are you dreaming about now? you know, I think you're done with being a personal trainer, though. That probably is over with. You don't really
interested
in that anymore.
Yeah, I won't go into that because I can talk about it for ages. I hope that my next album will be something that I'm really proud of. And I just can't wait to have more new music out there of mine, because I think it'll be slightly different to what I've done already. So we'll see.
What shall we go out on? What shall we say goodbye to you?
Why don't you play The Writer?
The Writer, okay. Ellie Goulding is a singer-songwriter. Her new album, her debut album, is called Lights, and she was nice enough to take a short break from her U.S. tour to visit us for a performance and conversation in our studio in Washington. She brought friends with her.
Max Cook.
Chris Kelly.
Thank you so much. Ellie Goulding, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to go out on The Writer. Thank you so much for coming. And that's our program for today. Tell Me More is produced by Ryan Brooks, Bridget Deshagas, Eamon Malone, Sanaj Meshkinpour, Amitha Parashar, Amy Ta, Sarah Ventry, and Saran Yitbarek. Our intern is John Ketchum. Our editor is Alicia Montgomery. She had a hand this week from Carol Van Dam. Our directors are Monica Evstatieva and Arjun Hutchins. Our senior producer is Devar Ardalan. Our technical director is Brian Jarbo. He had a hand this week from Neil Tivolt. Our theme music was composed by Underdog Entertainment with additional arrangements by Ian Honeyman. The supervising senior editor is Portia Robertson-Migas. The executive producer is Tashima Walker. And before we go, we want to welcome a new member to the ever-growing Tell Me More family. It's WNMU in Northern Michigan. We're so glad to have you. And to tell us more, and this invitation goes out to all of our friends, our new friends, and those who've been with us for a while, please go to npr.org and find us under the Programs tab. You can also friend me on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at TellMeMoreNPR. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Let's talk more tomorrow.